Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the New Testament reading for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as was previously read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, since you were little, reminding has been a big part of your life. Reminding. When you were a child, your mother spent a lot of time reminding you. Put away your toys. Eat your vegetables. Wash your hands. Did you say please? Did you say thank you? Don't bring that into the house. Practically your whole childhood was one reminder after another. This is because we so easily forget important things. Now that you're a big person, you still need reminding. Only now, as an adult, you mostly remind yourself. That voice in your head, constantly reminding you, don't forget that appointment on Tuesday. Did you take your medicine today? We need bananas from the grocery store. Is it time to change the oil yet? Reminder after reminder after reminder. Because we so easily forget things. And now that you're a big person, much of our reminding has to do with more weighty, deeper topics. Things that really, we would like to forget, but we can't because that inner voice keeps reminding us. So, for example, you're not as young as you used to be. You're not having as much fun as you should. You don't have enough money in the bank. You're not as happy as everyone else is. Reminder after reminder after reminder. Not only from that inner voice, but then that social media is constantly reminding you of these things. And your peers, in all their success and apparent happiness, are reminding you of these things. And your own unsatisfied heart reminds you. Reminders can be annoying. They can be unsettling. Too many reminders can be overwhelming. And they can take away our peace and our contentment. Into this mix of reminders, the Apostle Paul today adds one more. One more reminder. Don't forget. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel, the good news that I preach to you. And he goes on to say in verse 3 that this reminder is of first importance. It goes to the top of the list. It is above all others. Whatever else the world is trying to remind you of, good or bad, whatever else your inner voice is trying to get you to remember not to forget, put this reminder at the top of the list. Paul says, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. Whatever else you're trying not to forget, don't forget that. But of course, we do forget that. We forget the gospel because we are a forgetful people and we are easily distracted. All of the other reminders of life get in the way and we forget what's most important. Some of the Christians in Paul's day, in that congregation in Corinth, they had forgotten. They needed reminding of the gospel. They no longer believed in the physical resurrection of the body. They were influenced by the Greek culture that they had grown up in, which said, we are spiritual beings, and when we die, according to the Greek culture, when we die, our spiritual selves set aside the physical body, and we live on as spiritual beings. The physical body is nothing. The physical body is meaningless. The physical body does not rise again. There is no resurrection of the body, according to that Greek cultural view. But that's not the gospel that Paul had preached to them. That's not the good news that they had heard and received. And so Paul reminds them. He reminds them that the physical resurrection, the resurrection of the body, is a core teaching of the Christian faith. It is of first importance. If you set aside the resurrection, you pull the rug out from under the whole Christian faith. Because, as Paul says later, verses 16 to 18, if the dead are not raised, then that means Christ was not raised. If there is no physical resurrection of the body, then Jesus didn't physically rise from the grave either. And if Christ has not been raised, then the dominoes really start to fall. If Christ has not been raised, then death has not been defeated. If Christ hasn't overcome death, then he hasn't overcome the sin that brought death into the world in the first place. You are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, then all those who have already died are gone forever. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and we're left with emptiness. If Christ has not been raised, then this life is all there is. This life is all there is. Now, that was back in Paul's day. We skip forward 2,000 years to our own day. And I wonder if this same view is not dominant around us as well. This same view that says this life is all there is. Have you ever heard that before? I bet you have. As far as our culture is concerned, that's the whole point of life. That's the main reminder. This life is all there is. Our culture repeats this over and over again, to the point that we begin to believe it. This life is all there is. This life is all there is. This life is all there is. You see it on Facebook. You see it in the media that we consume. You hear it from friends and neighbors, reminder after reminder after reminder. This life is all there is. Life is short. You only live once, so you better live for now. And you better have fun while you can. You better get while the getting's good. And have you gotten to everything on your bucket list yet before it all ends in nothingness? Because this life is all there is, says the world. Under that outlook, with that worldview, we become a very me-focused people, a very desperate people, a very forgetful people. We forget who we are, and we forget why we're here, and we forget where we're headed. And so Paul says we need reminding of the gospel. Christ has been raised from the dead, and as he has been raised, so also will we by faith in him. Your whole life is about resurrection now that you belong to Christ. Romans 6 says that in baptism you were joined to the death and resurrection of Christ. That is, your old sinful self was crucified with him, and you were buried in the grave with Jesus. And then just as Jesus was raised from the dead, God raised you to new life. He forgave your sins. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He made you his own child, and he saved you. resurrection life has already begun in you through your baptism into Christ. Jesus is alive in you right now. Which tells us not only who we are, but why we're here. As Paul says in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Why are you here? To seek the things that are above. As the risen Christ lives in you, we think the words of Christ. We do the things, the works of Christ. Set your mind on the things that are above. Things like love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Things like forgiving, things like loving God, things like loving your neighbor as yourself. You have been raised with Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too walk in newness of life, and as we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. As you make your way through life and you come up with this option versus that option, you can ask yourself, this option, is that the old me, the old sinful me, the dead me that would do that? Or here's this other option. Which of these options is the new me, the person that I am in Christ, the person who has been raised with Christ, the person who belongs to Him and is headed for heaven. So, I'm reminding you, God in His Word reminds you. God's promises in your baptism remind you. The Apostles' Creed reminds you. And you keep reminding yourself. Christ died. Christ is risen. In baptism, you died with Christ and are raised with Him. And one day, you will be in heaven, soul and body, with Jesus. So, we no longer live for now. We no longer live for ourselves, as if this life is all there is. We live in hope. We look for and we look forward to the return of Christ and the renewal of all creation and the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.